Okay, we're continuing in chapter 10. We're going to begin with the seventh halacha, halacha Zayin, in Pirek Yud. Based in Shemidu Epitropis, Vishamu, a love, Shehu Oicha Vishesu Metzia Otsas, Yosu Medavar, Shehu Omein. So, based in appoints an Epitropis, an administrator, over a child's estate is what he inherits. Basin ends up hearing on this administrator that he is really spending. He's eating more extravagantly. He's drinking more extravagantly, and he's expending. He's spending more than he's assessed that he should be worth. So clearly, he has some access to spending money that he didn't have before.
Who's that Senate scandal?
Who's eating too much? The orphan.
He's the administrator of the orphans.
Living off out of the.
The administrator of the orphans' possessions.
Is he supposed to have anything?
Well, he shouldn't have this. We'll go into that. We'll see a little bit later on. Yesh lehem lechush. Bistin is obviously suspicious. Shema minich se yisaimim huoicha. Perhaps this extra money is coming from the inheritance of the orphans. So what does Bistin do? Oh, simple. Misal kinoso umaemidin acher. Get rid of him, and they point someone else.
They just suspect it. So.
It's a non-paid position. It's a voluntary position, right?
Oh, they're responsible. They don't want to take any chances because they themselves did it. We'll see. It looks a little different when the father did it. So, avo im manuhu avi yisaimim. If the father put the administrator into place, in we do not misakin, also throw him off. In this case. Shema Metzia Matza. Because it is possible he found another source of income. Ella, Imbao Edim, Shehu Mafsin. However, in the case even where the father appointed the administrator, if witnesses come and testify that the administrator is making the estate lose, Mafsin Minichsi Yisayimim. Masakin Aso. In that case, with witnesses, we do send away. Even an administrator that the father of the orphans put into place. The kavar hiskimu hagoyinim. Now the goyinim already established shemashvin oso hoyavama umafsid. We make the administrator swear, since he is making the estate lose, we want to protect the estate as much as we possibly can. So it appears that in order to make sure that he's not taking any money, that we're not losing out on extracting money from him that he took, we'll make him swear. And that way, if he doesn't want to swear, he'll end up repaying the estate.
He could just say, I need this aggravation, I'm leaving. Right?
It sounds like that we're saying that at this point he can't. In other words, we'll make him pay if he's not going to swear.
Then he can leave.
But if he knew, if they told him a day in advance, then he could have left before the alarm was rang. V'hu hadin lapitropis shemanuhu avi yisaimim. Likewise, it's logical that the law is similar in a case where the father appoints the administrator. V'haisa shemuso tova, and he had a good reputation. Vahe Yashar, he was a straightforward man, had integrity. Veroidif mitzvos, and he pursued mitzvos. That was when the father appointed him. Now, Vachazar, Leyoz Zolo Vasoive, Vahorlech Vidarchi Achashad, O Shaparts Benadarin, Uba Avek Gazel. Now, among other things, he is doing suspicious things, to put it lightly. He is breaking his vows, let's say not keeping his word in an obvious violation, and he is doing things which are questionably stealing. Based in Chayavim Masalik or so, and even though the father was the one who made him the administrator, and even though he's not directly, we don't have witnesses showing that he's causing a loss, nonetheless, since his character is clearly been impaired, and we see him that he's ripe to steal. basically gets rid of him. Uhashvio, make him swear again, that to make sure that we can extract money from him if he is or has taken money. It will manus lehen apitropos kosher, and based in this case, we'll put their one apitropos in. V'kol ha-devarim ha-elu, kafi ma'ashi yira l'dayan. And the Rambam's letting us know that if you're a dayan, that you should really take your own discretion, and it's really your responsibility when you see suspicious activities, to take these responsibilities seriously and get new administrators. Shekol beistin ubeis din. Sorry, yep. Kol beistin ubeistin hu avihen shel yisaimim. Because each and every beistin is a father, has to act as the father of an orphan. Okay, halacha ches katan shehigdil, the little child who grew up. V'afilu haya oichel v'shoisa yoser midai, and even though, as he's growing up, he grew up, but he's not a full adult, but he's not, say, a katanat anymore, and he starts to party, as they say. He's eating, he's drinking, and he's doing so more than is really proper. He's expending all his fortune. V'holeich b'derech ra'ah, and he's doing bad things. Ein beis din, nonetheless, beis din does not monin mimenu mamono, does not withhold his money from him. The ein ma'amidin lo apitropos, and they do not set an administrator for this person when he was a child inherited from his father. Now that he's reached a somewhat older stage, but still immature, we don't step in to take care of him. Ella, unless in this case, imkain tziva aviv, his father commanded, or Marisho, or whoever it was that this child was inheriting from, commanded shelo yisnu lo, the money should only be given to him. Ella imkain, only haya kosher umatzliach, only if he was keeping the right path and would be successful with the money, it seems.
Until what age? What age does he sort of like have the father over his shoulder, you know?
Let me just finish the sentence and osha lo yisnu lo ad zman plenty, or unless they said that he doesn't get it till a certain age. So if they said you don't get to be 21, then he went again until he's 21. But say that now he's approximately, in other words, he's physically a man, but we would say a teenager today. It seems you're asking if Beis Din doesn't take it away, and then if Beis Din's not going to, once he's physically mature, if father didn't specify, they don't do anything.
I mean, if the father did specify, keep an eye on him until he's 40.
Well, it seems until. Yeah, so then it sounds like the father's empowered to do that. And the father is in power here. Father's in power. Father knows best.
What's the party?
V'shuta v'charesh, someone who's not mentally there and fully, or someone who's a deaf mute. Hari hein k'katanim, even though they may be physically more mature, they are still considered the children of Beis Din. Beis Din needs to take responsibility and set up an administrator for their inheritance. Okay, and we go on to the last chapter of these laws. Perek Achad Aser. Aser.
So, chapter 11.
Achad Aser. Okay, so we're in chapter 11. Halacha Aleph. Maos shall yisoimim. Sheniach lahen avihen. So money that the orphans, that their father leaves to the orphans, einan tzrichen apitropos. Money in and of itself does not need an administrator. Well, what do we do? Elaketzat. So in other words, we're going to do a different strategy. Don't get too confused. Elaketzat oisin behen. What do we do? Bodkin al mishi yeshlo nechasim sheyeshlehem achrayus. We go and search and hopefully find someone with property, and it's clear that basically he owns it. Vihu Edis, and hopefully he has high quality property that he owns. Vihye Ish Neman, and this man, besides having the proper property, is a faithful man. He's Neman, believable. Vishomea Dine Torah, he listens and heeds the laws of the Torah. Meolam Lo Kibel Alav Nidui, he's never received a ban from the community. V'noisnim lo hamaus. Now this man, if we find him, we give him the money. Right, we don't put an administrator over it. We based in, give, find the proper person, we'll let him strategize. So v'noisnim lo hamaus based in, we'll give it, we'll create a contract, as it were, with this man in based in. And the contract will be Kar of the Skar Rach Lehefsid, which you gentlemen should remember from laws of Ribis. If not, I can go through a few different things that this might mean, depending on its different Rishonim. But basically, I'm going to finish the sentence and we'll go through it. V'nimtzu ha'yesomim nehenin mischar ha'mas. And in the end of the day, the goal is that we should keep the principle intact and allow them to not lose, but to continue to gain. And they'll get the profit. Now, generally we know that ribis, you can't lend, you can't invest even in a way where both sides, well, certainly the investor doesn't have a chance of losing. So there's something called an iska, which is mentioned in the Gemara, not a heter iska, but an iska. An iska is a basic investment. Generally speaking, we look at it like this. If Reuven gives to Shimon, Reuven's the lender, the malve. Shimon is the loiva, the borrower. Reuven gives money to Shimon, and he says, "Let's make an iska. I'm going to give you such and such, and you'll take the produce and sell and go to somewhere else where the money, where you can sell it for higher, and you'll go through all the trouble and you'll make a profit for the both of us." The general status of an iska is that half of it's considered a pikadon, which means it still belongs to Reuven. The other half is considered a loan, which means that that Shimon, the borrower, is completely responsible to pay that money back to Reuven. Now, since Shimon is getting a loan from Reuven, we have to be concerned of issues of ribis. One, the most obvious issue is that Shimon is in effect working for Reuven. He's doing all this effort of taking Reuven's product to this other market or whatever it is that he's doing, whatever strategy they have to make profit. And he's putting the effort in to make that profit. The problem is that since Shimon got a loan, it would be assumed that he's doing this work on Reuven's property to be cut in half because he got a loan. And since he's doing it because he got a loan, there's an issue of ribis. Now, the general approach is that ribis derabanan is allowed when orphans are involved. So you're allowed to lend the orphan's money, based in, even though there's an issue of ribis. So in theory, if you were going to have 50-50, which would still be kar of the skar rach lehefsid, in other words, it's kar of the skar because I don't want to get too complicated, but bottom line is, let me explain kar of the skar rach lehefsid and kar of the zeh. In this 50-50 deal, Reuven, the lender, has a possibility of making money, because if the venture is successful, he gets the profits from his pecan and he gets half the profits. He also has a possibility of losing money because he can also lose his pecan. It's a little more complicated, but we'll try to keep it as simple as we can. And so in a general iska, the Yisomim certainly wouldn't have to pay even the Skar Tircha, which is the money for the fact that Shimon is putting all this effort in to make the money. However, we can, because we're allowing Ribis Derabanan, the rabbinic Ribis, the rabbinic profit from the loans, we can even change the situation so it's not Kar Lezeh, Kar Lezeh. In other words, the lender might win, the lender might lose, he might gain, he might lose. We can even do this thing called Kar L'Skar Rech L'Hefsid. Kar L'Skar is when there's a very high likelihood that the lender has a chance of making money. On the other hand, there's a very low likelihood, if any, that he's going to lose money. So what happens? Instead of doing 50-50, Rashi at least explains it, that this means that Reuven is going to get 50% of the profits if Shimon's successful. Karv l'schar. He has a good chance of making money. But it's rach lehefsid because Shimon is accepting responsibility on himself to pay back the entire principal if, in fact, is lost. Which means that Reuven's not going to lose because he's going to get the money back no matter what. Again, this is not allowed for two adults or most certain situations, but as a way to protect orphans, we made an exception. So there are other interpretations of it. If you want, you can ask me later to go through it. But that's generally what Karv l'schar, rach lehefsid means. Okay, so the Yisraimim, the orphans, are going to give money to someone who's faithful, who has properties that he can guarantee the money if for some reason the venture goes bad. So Beis Din's going to have access to these properties, which they'll take and give to the Yisraimim to guarantee the loan. On the other hand, this gentleman has an opportunity to make money with the money that he's being invested, because if he does make money, he'll still take a piece. Yeah?
So what's Shimon's incentive to being involved with this at all?
So again, Shimon makes money because he gets a portion of the profit if it's a successful venture.
And Reuven's just taking the chance?
So in a regular case, Reuven's taking a chance, and as much as if the venture goes bad, he loses a pikadon. But he still gets, he gets the loan back. But in the case of Yisraimim, he's not taking any chance. That's why it's rachok, it's distance from hefsid, from loss. So that obviously it'd be a major issue if it was not a case of orphans.
And is he compensated for his time and involvement in all this?
So in a usual case, you would be. There's no reason why you would have to be in the case of Yisraimim, because we're allowing of this idea of Karv l'schar, rach lehefsid. Now remember, if he's a savvy businessman, he probably believes he's going to make a lot of money with this. He's happy to do it. He gets a mitzvah and makes lots of money. What better way is there to live, right? So that's what he would probably think.
What's the earlier phrase talking about? What's that talking about?
Basically, it's something that's not going to be collected from someone else, is what we're trying to indicate. That he has a chrayas on it. He has good edis is the best property. There's edis, benanis, zibrus.
What does he have to possess? Like, why does he have to possess?
So that's the point. Okay, so the point is that again, Shimon, we want to make if Shimon has to give back the principal of the loan if the business venture goes bad, Beis Din wants to ensure that Shimon's going to be able to do that. So therefore, we need to make sure he has properties that no one else has a lien on. Right, we need to make sure that if we collect the properties, that they're good properties and that we'll actually get them, and then we're not going to have to give them back to anyone else. Okay, so we're setting up the situation again where the Yisraimim, the orphans, have an opportunity to live off the profits, and we're not going to be subtracting the principal from them. Any other questions? Okay, stop me if we need. Okay, so that's one way to do it if he has land. However, if he doesn't have land, there's another way to do it. V'chein, im ein lo karka, if he doesn't have the property that there are no liens on, and we can't make sure that we'll be able to take it if the business venture goes bad. So v'nasan lehen mashkon zahav v'shubar. What we'll do is we'll take, basically, he'll give to Beis Din gold bars as a collateral. She'ein bo simen. It's important that they don't have markings on them. In other words, it shouldn't really be jewelry. Why are we choosing gold bars as opposed to jewelry? Jewelry is often somewhat identifiable. But gold bars are basically anonymous gold, more or less.
Maybe
so,
a sentimentality aspect
of the jewelry?
Yeah.
It could be that that's a factor, but the main factor, you'll see that he's going to speak out, that we don't want someone coming and making a claim to it. Because then it ruins the whole
thing.
Then we failed to protect the Yisraimim from losing. Yeah, again, these are fair ways to think about it. But the main point is that we want to make sure it's rachuk lehefsid. We don't want the Yisraimim, the orphans, to be losing money. therefore, if we take it collateral, we can't have someone come and make a claim to recollect it, or we haven't done our job. So, continuing here, she'ain bo simin noitlin basin. Basin takes it. Hamashkon. This is mashkon. Noitlin basin hamashkon. Venosin lo hamaus. So Basin takes the mashkon, and then they give him the money of the Yesomim. And they do it again. Carve the scar and rakh lehefsid. We do not want the Yesomim to be losing money. Ulama, lo yikachu mashkon, kelim shal zahav, or cheli shal zahav. Why don't we take the collateral, let's say maybe a gold cup or a necklace? Why don't we do that? Why don't we take these other golden things that we could surely sell? Shema, the reason is that perhaps shalachirimu, they belong to someone else. V'yisnu simin, they'll come and bring the sign, they'll give a sign to Bastin. V'yatluhu acher, and acher moso, im yodeya hadayan, if yom yada hadayan, she'en ze amud. The judge will be forced to give back the gold cup or the necklace if after the investor, in this case Shimon, passes away, someone else may come and claim it. And in that case, if we wouldn't have assessed Shimon to have been able to own such an item, such a cup or such a extravagant necklace, we'll be forced to give it back to the person making the claim, and the Yesomim will lose. Okay. So again, the point is we want to collect collateral, which we can guarantee will not be taken by someone else. V'kama yipasku b'skar. How much do we give? It sounds like if he's profitable, how much do we give to the Yesomim? That's the way I understand it. There's another interpretation that's possible as well. K'vi mashi yiru hadayanim. We leave that up to the discretion of the judges. O shal yisaschar o chatziv. Filu revia haschar liyisomim im ruus shazu tekana lehem oisin. We can give a third, we can give half, we can even give a quarter. Lo matza adam shiyisnu lo hamaus rachuk lehefsid v'kar v'schar. If we can't find a shimon, a person who's willing to take the chance that he'll make a profit, but doesn't want to guarantee all the money, he feels that it's not fair to him, or perhaps he doesn't have the proper land or gold. So what do we do if we can't make such a good investment for the Yesomim? Hari elu motziin mehen mezonos me'at ad shiyakanu lehen b'maus karka. So what we do is we give them just a little bit of money so that they can get food and have their provisions. But again, we're really trying to keep the care and the principle intact as long as they're young.
How long are you giving them?
So, I mean, it depends how much money we have to give them, but we're going to try to basically make the tap go as small an amount as possible coming out. V'masru so biyad apitropis. So, shiamidu lehen. And ad shiyakanu lehen b'maris karka. It sounds until we can find land to buy on their behalf, and then once we buy the land, since it's no longer metaltalin, we'll put that in the hands of an administrator. So again, we're trying to make a good investment for them. Potentially, we can make money with the land by working the land. Okay, halacha beis kol metaltalin shal yisomim. Shaminosan umoichminoso miad bebeistin. When you have these movable properties that are inherited by the orphans, what we'll do is we'll assess their value, and we'll try to sell them immediately. And we can sell it in beistin. But vim hayashuk carve the medina. If there's a nearby market, moichminoisan the shuk. We'll take the metaltlin, this movable property, to the marketplace. Umoichminoisan, and we'll sell it there. Yitzrafu demehen im hamayshe yisomim, and then the proceeds will be combined with whatever money they inherited. So in general, we want to get money. Once we get money, we want to try to set them up with a good investment. If we can't set them with a good investment, we at least take that money and invest in the land. Presumably with the land, we can at least get some profit out of it. Halacha Gimel. Misha haya biyado schar shal yosomim. Someone who has in his hands the basically money of orphans. Im yin yicha. Oh, you know, it's not schar. It's secha. Shecha. Shecha. It's beer. So beer is going to be a prototype for a certain type of case.
But they have to be of certain age for the son to be able to drink it.
I don't think Rambam mentions that one.
Okay. But he's a doctor.
Yeah. Im yenicho kan. No, we're going to sell it. So don't worry. They're not going to drink it. Hopefully we'll sell it at least. Im yenicho kan. Ad shimkar. Now, the problem is that the person who has this beer of the Yisamim is in a predicament. If he sells it, sorry, if he doesn't sell it, im yenichu kan, if he just leaves it here where it is, ad shiimchar, until he finds someone to sell it. In other words, if he sells it, if he waits to find a buyer here, shemi yachmis, it'll go sour, it'll go bad. On the other hand, he has to make a choice, because v'im yolichu l'shuk, if he takes it to the market, in other words, I'll find a buyer quicker. Shema ya'aru oynes b'derech. Something out of his control will occur, and he'll lose it. So he has a choice. Do I wait and try to get a sale here, and maybe not get a sale, or do I try to get the sale but possibly lose it on the way? What do I do? Harizeh osebo k'derech shehu osebo shelo.
Yeah. What would you do with yours?
Yeah.
The first choice is lesser value.
If you sell it here, yeah, it seems to be.
Apparently, that's their value. It's a sure, you're not going to ruin it. You're not going to destroy it, but it could get ruined because it could take so long to get any price. The other way, you're going to get a reasonable price, but along the way, it could get destroyed.
So the question is, why by Beis Din do we bring it to the market if we can? So to hear what's the incentive of the market.
And so the question is, what would you do with your own?
What would you do
if
with your
own? If it was your beer, what would you do?
It's a good good eatza in life, I think.
Drink it.
So no, you're not drink. You want to get money from the orphan.
The government workers.
Your business.
If it was your money.
Yeah. Paul's drinking.
If it does become lost, what kind of shomer is he?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Because he's not getting compensated, right?
Yeah. Not sure. If it's an onus, it sounds like, yeah, exactly. Maybe he'll lose the money. I mean, he won't lose the money, but the orphans will lose the money. Okay, should we try?
Breathalyzer.
Any other questions, or do you want to try one more halacha? How are we doing for time?
44.
All right, let's call it a night. Good night.